Now, after calling and appointing and authorizing apostles and then giving them traveling instructions, as we heard last week, there is still more. Now, there is instruction about what it means to share in the mission of Jesus and the consequences that can be expected. It's important to notice that in Matthew's gospel, there is no specific missionary journey recorded as there is in Mark and in Luke. There, the 72 and the 12 are sent out and return, reporting to Jesus all that has happened. Those instructions that we heard last week were about how faithful the church should present itself to the world. And so today, Matthew continues to direct us on what to expect and how to respond to it. As the disciples, the apostles, the church, call them what you will, as we have begun to fulfill the mission of Jesus, there was no doubt what to expect and what the experience would mean and how the reactions would be found responding to the message of Jesus. If the message is the same and his presence is realized in those who go, there's going to be trouble because vested interests are always going to be threatened. For instance, when Paul went to Ephesus, where the economy of that city was based upon silver and the making of silver idols, after Paul went and preached, far fewer people would purchase those idols and the silver business collapsed. Well, Paul's message of the gospel caused trouble and he paid a big price for it. It's estimated that in the Roman Empire at this time, historians suggest to us that there were, now get this number, 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Now, it was a terror in the mind of Romans that those 60 million slaves might rise up and revolt. So when the gospel comes and the lifestyle of Christ's followers spreads throughout the empire, you can imagine what the Roman Empire began to think about this. There was greater concern because the preaching that in Christ there is neither free man nor slave, there is all there suddenly the potential of a revolution. When it says the slave will be treated like the master, this is not going to go down well. Okay? So this message has to be silenced. The church, which treated everyone with love and compassion and understanding and respect, is not welcome. And those who believed such things and behaved that way had to go. As it was then, I think so it is now. The message of the gospel and the messengers who proclaim it, living by its instruction, continue to be challenged, and they are a threat to those who want things to remain the same. Vested interests are still feeling uncomfortable and even threatened by the gospel. Issues of racism, sexism, justice, and sometimes even the economy, just as in Ephesus, are confronted by those sent by Christ with the gospel as their guide and their mission. When immigrants flee their homes for their very lives, we know what Christ would have us do. His own family fled to Egypt in fear of a violent madman. Yet, what we must do is a threat to some, and they turn on those who speak of justice with ridicule to silence the voices of those who cry out with good news for those who flee in fear. The mission of justice and peace and forgiveness still finds resistance wherever it is a threat to those in power and whose interests are best served by keeping things the way they are, by building walls or by locking doors. At first, their response is always ridicule and petty name-calling. When this is not effective, power and force are brought to bear with threats and punitive actions, and then the violence begins. The pattern of this is there from the very beginning. The resistance is no less, while the need of truth and justice and peace is even greater. The growing power and influence of secularism, which dismisses the basic Christian value of life, cannot go unchallenged, no matter what the cost. The growing power and consequence of greed and self-serving economy, with a denial that we are responsible for one another as children of God, cannot go unchallenged, no matter how often or how insulting the reactions are of those who feel threatened. Those sent out must have conformed themselves to Christ, not just to his glory and his resurrection, but to his abandonment, to his loneliness, his disappointment, and eventually to his crucifixion. They will face opposition with patient courage. They'll face rejection with dignity, finding comfort in the mutual support of brothers and sisters. There is, and history's shown it to be true, a positive consequence to all of this. It is bearing witness to others. In the meantime, Matthew, in his time, saw this persecution bearing witness to the Gentiles. And when they saw it, they came in numbers, because they saw Christ in it. And so it might be again. The power of love is never overcome because it is the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, Matthew's writing to Jewish converts. No one's ever been more persecuted and suffered more than the Jewish people. They understood what he was saying. There is here a paradox and a statement of privilege. To suffer for Christ is to share in the work of Christ. To have to sacrifice for the faith is to share in the sacrifice of Christ. There's always a thrill in belonging to noble company, and that's where we are when we're one with Christ. When our faith costs something, we are closer than ever to Jesus Christ. And when we have a share in his suffering, we shall also have a share in his victory and in his resurrection.